gracious Father, we come humbly before thee this morning, believing, O God, that we'll come down with a shout, which is a message. Father, we just ask that you would be with us this morning as we open thy word and we study it, Lord, to make ourselves a true to thee, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. And so, Father, we just commit, Lord, the reading of thy scriptures in your Holy Spirit. We commit, Lord, and ask you to anoint thy word that it might bring forth fruit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Looks like we've got half a church this morning. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at, this will be the unveiling of God, number 110. We're going to look at the true vine. We'll know the two spirits and will not be deceived. I guess we can have some people switch sides of the church this morning. Okay. We'd open our Bible this morning, Matthew 16:3. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came and tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them, and he departed. Now, notice in Luke 12:56, he says basically the same thing. Suppose you that I've come to give peace on earth. All right? Now, this word suppose is translated from the Greek word dokio, meaning to suppose, to think, or to see. Now, notice, we read first, he's talking about discernment. He says, you know, you're able to discern some things, but you don't discern other things. You know, you can discern the sun and moon and how it affects the weather. You can discern how it's going to be tomorrow. But he says, why can't you, or why don't you discern what's happening now? Now, the word discern comes from a Greek word which means to examine. It means to examine and thus understand. Why then, if you can examine this, you can examine this, you can see how it's going to change the weather, all this other stuff, why can't you examine the day of the hour in which you live? What's supposed to happen? You know, like we went into the parousia study, we showed 84 different signs and events that are tied to the word parousia in the Bible, yet people want to call parousia false doctrine, and they don't want to examine it. Well, he says, why? Why don't you want to? And that's the question we're going to look at. In Luke 12:56, he says, suppose ye, and you know the word suppose, we're going to go into that in just a minute. He says, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Suppose ye? You suppose that I'm, you think that I'm supposed to bring peace on earth? Now, you would think Prince of Peace brings peace, right? This word suppose is translated from the Greek word dokia, which means to suppose, to think, or to seem like. It would seem like the Prince of Peace would come to bring peace on earth. Therefore, we could read that what Jesus is saying here, you would think that I am come to give peace on earth. It would seem that I am come to give peace on earth. You would suppose I am come to give peace on earth. Therefore, the King James Version took this third one, but all three are just the same. So instead of just saying, you suppose, they wrote, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I am come to give peace on earth. And I tell you, and that's the logical thought, would be that the Prince of Peace would come to bring peace on earth. But you notice Jesus says, it's not so. Nay, but rather division. Huh? Prince of Peace is here to bring division? What? Jesus came to bring division? Then why does it seem logical to man that the Prince of Peace comes to bring peace? But notice Jesus explains and how it will be from henceforth. He says, from henceforth, that means from this point on to the end, there shall be five in one house divided. Three against two and two against three. The father shall be divided against his son, the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother, her mother-in-law. Now, this seems very strange, but these are the words of Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. For unto us a child is born, and he should be called Prince of Peace. You know, I hear people all the time say, you Parousia boys are always fussing with everyone. And others will say, we don't teach doctrine because doctrine separates. And they say that because they do not understand that God is a separator. And he's not a mixer.
Amen.
He didn't come to bring peace, he came to bring division.
Right.
Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A man, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, correct? And out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh, right? Well, if he says he's come to bring division, that's because that's what he is. God is a divider, he is not a separator, he is not a mixer. Hybriding mixes. All right. From a sermon once more, William Branham, vindicated prophet God, he quotes Amos 3 and 3. He says, how can two walk together except to be agreed? How are we going to walk with people who deny the very resurrection of Christ? How can we walk with people who say the days of miracles is past? You are a separated people by the Holy Ghost. See, the world what the world is wanting today is mixers. They want somebody who can walk around in fellowship with the world and fellowship with people and get a lot of members and have a social organization. But when the Holy Ghost said, separate me, God is a separator, not a mixer. He's a separator. Notice, when the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul. All right? God is a mixer, not a mixer. He's a separator. For man that can turn on the light, he says, now, God separates darkness from light, or light from darkness, and he separates death from life. And he does it by his word. His word is what always brings this forth. Always brings this forth. Always brings this forth. Now, likewise, now the seed was already upon the earth. I believe God had planted the seed, and just as long as the sun could get to that seed, it began to grow. And that's the reason it only taking days to bring forth these things, because the seed was already in the earth. All it needed was light. And that's the way God has today. His seed is already here, his word. The only thing it needs to is light on it, and he is that light, for he is the word. The word and the light is the same thing. The light in there is the light of the word. See, is the life. The germ of life lays within the grain, and the grain, the life, is what breaks forth and brings forth the life out of the grain. That's the way that Christ is in the word, makes the word do what it's supposed to do, just like the life in the grain of wheat, or whatever it is, it makes the wheat do what it's supposed to do, because it is the life that's in the grain. And remember, every seed will bring forth after its kind. Now that is why we have to be very careful to say what the prophet said, and not add our own twist to what he said. He said the token is the Holy Spirit. From the voice of the science, and many of you was down the other night, or Sunday afternoon, I guess, down there where I preached a token, hold the token before you. How many was down there? Let's see your hand. Well, I thought there was a group from here down there, and the token, that's the only thing God recognizes, and the token must be there, or the covenant's even annulled. Just the token, and the token is the Holy Spirit. So if we say the token is something other than the Holy Spirit, we're not saying what he said. The token is the Holy Spirit. It's like saying this. If I've got my Bible, and every denomination, every Baptist, you know, they say, I have my Bible, that's the Word of God, and that's the Holy Ghost. Well, just a minute now. The Holy Ghost wrote it. That's true. But to say that that is Spirit, listen, Paul said, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Brother Branham said, the life that's in the seed is what brings forth. It's not the shuck, it's not the mesoderm or the endoderm, it's that inner, it's that germ seed that lays within. Alright? Now, so Brother Brown says the token is the Holy Spirit. Now listen, he told us the only thing that God will recognize is the token, and he told us the token is the Holy Spirit. The token is not the Word, it is the Spirit giving life to the Word. The Apostle Paul told us the letter killeth, but the Spirit is what gives life. 2 Corinthians 3 and 6. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter. We're not ministers of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, if we just get up here and just read a scripture and have no clue what that scripture says, there's no light on that scripture, it killeth. So it's the light on the scripture that giveth life.
Amen.
We are ministers of this New Testament, but not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Notice Paul says, we are ministers of the Spirit, not of the letter, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. That is why the Pharisees missed him. Yet they knew the letter extremely well. They missed him because the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. You know, the Pharisees were trained in such a place, and I heard this from someone who had gone to, you know, theology and all that school. But they were trained in such a place, they could take the scroll, they could put a pin through it, and they could tell you every letter it passed through as it went through. That's pretty well trained. We don't have people like that today. The minds of men today, listen, if you've ever seen the 1912 eighth grade examination, none of you would pass it. You wouldn't. I don't know any college graduate that would pass it. I don't know any master's degree or doctorate degree that would pass it. It's just that complex. Yet, it was an eighth grade exam to pass eighth grade in 1912. That's how dumbed down the world has become in the last... Oh, they're smart when it comes to technology. And boys can sit there and play video games all day long. It doesn't do anything for their ability to think. They're reactionary. But they're not smart. Now, and the Pharisees, they knew the letter extremely well. But they missed the life of the Word when the life of the Word was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. When God was in their midst, they completely missed Him. Because the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives the life. Notice those who were aware of His presence, Hannah, Simeon, Elizabeth, Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, none of them were Bible trained. None of them were scholars. The shepherds, what about them? And what did they all have in common, though? They were all moved and directed by the Holy Ghost. The letter killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. Now, from his sermon, the token, Brother Brown said, as Israel sat there and the screams was going on out there in the street, they didn't have one thing to worry about. One thing, just be sure the blood, the token, was showing. That's the only thing we have to worry right now. There's trouble in the way making, friends. It ain't going to be long. Trouble striking, you know that. Be sure the token's showing, and the token is the Holy Spirit. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body and made partakers of His glory. And we know the word glory is doxa. On our lap home march now to the promised land. So, the token of the Holy Spirit, make sure you got it. All right. Now, getting back to what Brother Brown was saying concerning God being a separator in his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, he said, God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. Amen. Separation. Come out from among them and be not partakers of their unclean things. God wants separation, total annihilation from sin. Separate. That's what the trouble today. Reason we can't be Abraham's seed. We can't separate ourselves from dogmas and creeds and so forth, called Christianity, to the living Word. Separate yourself from unbelief and believe God's Word. God will make it manifest to you. Right. Genesis 12, God says, separate yourself from all your kindred and from everything around you. Oh my, we can't separate ourselves from card play. Huh? God wanted him to separate himself from his family. Be willing. Look, Lot, his father. They were nothing but a noose around his neck. They constricted him. When his father finally died off and he separated from Lot, God began to bless him. Now you might ask, why did God love separation? And the answer is because that is what He is. God is a separator. The Bible, which is God's Word, says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right? And His Word also says, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Is that right? Is that what the Scripture teaches? Then tell us a man, then that tells us a man is what he is in his heart, and therefore he must speak what he is in his heart, right? So what happens the first time God spoke? Genesis 1 and 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice, that is the first time God spoke, and what did that word produce when He spoke it? Separation. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So the first time God spoke, He separated by His word the light from the darkness. Now, then if He is the same and changes not, which it tells us in Malachi 3 and 6, then the next time God speaks, His word will have the same effect. And so the second time God speaks, we see the same results. Genesis 1 and 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. So the second time He speaks, there's a division as well. Separation. So God speaks, and we see the water from above are separated from the waters from below. Why? Because that is the nature of God. That's who He is. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And, therefore, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So every time God speaks, there's got to be separation. He's the same, is He not? Now, the Bible states that three is a witness. So let's look at the third time God speaks, and we see in Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and herb yielding seed, the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And how does seed multiply? The law of life, because multiplication, you know, most people think, well, multiplication, that's not division, that's not separation, that's, no, it can't happen. You cannot multiply without division. Listen, the law of life calls for a total separation of the cell, whereby one cell divides itself and makes two. And then two cells divide itself and makes four, and four divides itself and makes eight. And then 16, then the 16 makes 32, the 32 makes 64, and then 64 makes 128, and 256, and 512, and 124. And so you see, in only 10 separations, we have gone from one cell to over 1,000 cells. Just in 10 separations. And that is the law of life, because every cell that begins with one, and each time that cell divides, each new cell has what was in the first. So you had one cell, now you have two cells because it divided. Now you have two that are identical. Now you have four that are identical. Now you have eight that are identical. Now that's life. So separation shows life. If you don't have separation in a church, you don't have life. You don't have life. I'm going to say it again. God is a separator. God is life. And if you don't have separation in a church, you don't have life. And this speaks of the day of Pentecost, when God came down as one pillar of fire and separated himself into the selected believers that were in the room. And there came out 120 with all the same spirit that was in that pillar of fire. Now listen, Brother Bram says, the question and answer. Now, on the day of Pentecost, they come down the pillar of fire and broke apart like that, and tongues of fire set upon each of them. Not their tongues, but tongues of fire set upon each of them. A selected group identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God had separated himself into men. Do you get it? God the Logos separated himself into men. God, not in one person, he's in his church universal. That's the reason Jesus could say, the works that I do shall you do more. Now, I know the King James is greater, but the right translation there is, more than this shall you do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ, but now he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church of the living God. Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, he's in Africa, he's in Asia, he's in Europe, he's in England. Wherever believers are gathered together, there he is in their midst. Because, look, if it began in one cell, now it's got two, now it's got four, now it's got eight, and those eight happen to be, you got some in Africa, some in Asia, some in Europe, some in America, etc., some in South America. That's God in his people. And he said, the works that I do shall you do more, even more. And Brother Bram explains that right here. He said, because it's the same God, by one spirit we're all baptized into one body, is doing the same things in different places. Okay? There he is in the midst of them. Oh my, and I think that we could probably take a week of every night just talking about God as a separate. There's just so much information. I had to really hone it down, because I was listening to Wednesday night. Brother Branham said, I've been guilty of it, that I've been laying out a foundation. But he said, but we should try to keep our service, to 40 minutes or so. So we're going to try to do that. And Wednesday nights we're going to cut it back to half a tape so people can get in and out. And that's just the way he said it should be. And that, because look, you could sit there and I could give you an encyclopedia on how much you're going to remember. So if I can give you a few things to remember, you can walk out and you're better off for it. But if I give you an encyclopedia, you go away and your head's swimming, you're not better off for it. Right? But we should be coming here on Wednesday nights to listen to those tapes. I think it's very important that we do. And if you can't make it, you better be, you should be hooking up. You say, well, I can just listen to my own tape. Listen, we do things as a church because God is leading us through the Holy Spirit. And I just believe it'd be very good for us to come, to worship him, and to be listening to those tapes. I could be preaching, but I just felt led that we need to have both. You got to have a fivefold ministry, and you got to have a prophet who gave that word to us. Now, from his sermon, Feast of the Trumpets, Brother Branham said, God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, that's right, for the work. Separate. God's a separator, not a mixer. The church wants a good mixer today that can let them wear bathing suits and shorts and everything else and get out there and carry on like that. But God said, separate me, separate yourself from the world. Again, from his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham said, God said, separate yourself, Abraham. As I said, God calls for separators. We call for mixers. A certain church that I was at not long ago, they was voting in their pastor. And they said, now, we can't have him because he's an old crank. We want somebody who will go swimming with us, the girls and the boys together, who will take a little sociable drink, let us have dances in the basement. Huh? I don't know what to tell you. You're sure in a bad shape. You see, sometimes your choice is not God's choice. One time God was going to choose a king to take Saul's place from backsliding. And so he told the prophet, go up to Jesse's sons and I'll choose one. So Jesse said, oh, that's wonderful. He goes out, brings in the great big tall son, 7 feet tall, you know, a little man standing there with a cruse of oil in his hand. He said, now this man will look beautiful with that crown on his head. Look, how the long robes will look. Don't he look like a king when he walks anyhow? That's him. Bring him up here. Bring him up here. So the prophet said, well, we'll just pour oil on him. But when he went, God said, I refused him. So he brought the next one, great big strong fellow. God said, I refused him. Well, they're the biggest boys I got. Well, they're the only ones who look right with a crown on their head. They're the only ones who are straight enough to walk like a king. God said, I refused them. Well, he brought six of them. Might have said, haven't you got another one? Oh, yes. I've got a little old naughty fellow back over here herding some sheep, and I'm sure that he wouldn't look good as a king. He said, go bring him here and let me see him. And as soon as little David, with little sheepskin coat on, a little slingshot in his hand, walking along, toddling up like that, stoop-shouldered, perhaps a little scrawny-looking boy, the Holy Ghost said, that's my man. He knowed what was on the inside of him, but man looks on the outside, God looks on the heart. What's Brother Graham doing here? All right. With all of these quotes we were reading on God is separated, he's trying to get you to understand the mind of God, the way God thinks. Because if you can think with the mind of God, you can't be deceived. And that's what we're trying to show here today, this morning, is that the bride, the elect of God, the true vine, will not be deceived. They understand the two vines. They understand the two seeds. They understand the characteristics of each. That's why they can't be deceived. But the person that just comes to this big, you know, mega church, and everybody just comes, they worship and everything else, they have no clue what's going on. The very fact that it is a mega church shows there's something wrong. Right there. I hope you're getting what Brother Branham is driving at here, because we're learning here the mind of God and how it works. And that is why the elect cannot be deceived, because they know the mind of God, and if they know the mind of God, because they have the Spirit of God living in them, then they will also know what is not the mind of God, so they can avoid it. So they won't be deceived. Now, from his sermon, A Total Separation from Unbelief, Brother Branham said, even as I quote back again, his mother said, thy father and I, before those priests that she'd already testified it was the virgin-born son, but in the moment of her grief, how could a 12-year-old boy, and we have no record of him even being in school, how could his intelligence be so great as to debate with the priest, the sage, the learned men? And why, when she called that this Joseph was his father, quickly, the word of God, he was separated. He was the word, and the word corrected the error. Know ye not that I must be about my father's business? That was not just a little 12-year-old boy. That was the word of God speaking through this little childish mouth to correct error, separate. Like he did in the beginning. Darkness from light, a light from the truth, death from life. It's a separation. And always the word requires total and complete separation regardless. Jesus said, let every man's word be a lie, let mine be true. All down through the ages, the same thing has happened. It's a separating. Always he separates his people from unbelief. He did it at the beginning. He does it same today. Each one of the prophets was separated from unbelief. The reason they did it is because the word of the Lord came to them. Because what? The word is a separator. Remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So when God spoke, there was separation. Light from darkness. God spoke again, there was separation. Water from water. God spoke again, there was cell development. All right? Separation, separation, separation. So God is a separator. That's his attributes. And from his servant Abraham, he said, and now when God called Abraham, him being 75 years old, and he says, separate yourself from your kindred. It's strange how that we can change that today. God called for separation, but we call for mixtures. That's right. The people, when they're choosing their pastor, you do that. Oh, they want a little slick fellow, you know, that'll take a sociable drink and not condemn smoking or a few of these things here. A good guy that'll mix with the crowd. But God wants separated. God calls for total separation from the things of the world. Come out from among them, the Bible said. And be separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you. See, not a mixer, a separator. The Holy Ghost spoke, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, to the work. A separation. God separates his people, the right from the wrong. Notice, now, Abraham wants to separate himself and to sojourn in a strange land that he knew not of. Isn't that a beautiful picture today? When God, by election, called you to his beloved, then immediately God speaks to you to separate yourself from the old crowd, the pool room, the stitch and sew party, where they tell jokes and carry on, a separation. Now, you know, I think it's so strange that God separated everyone who come into this message from whatever churches they attended before they saw the light. And yet, what is the first thing that they do when they come to the light of this message? They look for the biggest church, or a big one, like they left. You know, Einstein said, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. From his sermon, Unconditional Covenant, Brother Graham said, now, this is for the Christians. Notice that after God called him, he said, the first thing I want you to do is to separate yourself. That's what God does today, separation. Most of the churches, when they're calling for their new pastor over in the Baptist church, we used to do that, the people say, oh, that old preacher, he's an old fogey. He tries to tell us this, and we want a young fellow who's a good mixture. God don't want mixers. God wants separators. Separate yourself. That's right. God always calls for separation. It says, separate yourselves from your kindred, from your people. Separate from your associates. Separate from your habits. Separate from everything and come out and stand alone with God. Amen. That's where the first man was called by election. That's where the last man's been called to do the same thing. Separate yourself from your associates and the things of the world. Come out from among them. Be you separate. He said, then I'll bless you. If you want a blessing, separate yourself from the things of the world. How many want a blessing? All right, separate yourself from the things of the world. You know, I think that is why we do not see much of Mark 16 and John 14, 12 in the churches today. Because how can God bless men who would rather line themselves up with their peers than with the Word of God? When you're willing to walk alone and walk contrary to what your peers think that you should walk, then God will bless you because you are not doing it for peer gratification, but for obedience to the Word of God. And so from his sermon, Jehovah Jireh, Brother Branham says, after Abraham separated himself from Lot, just exactly what God told him to do, separate every sin does so easily beset us, take everything out. There then God said, Abraham, now you're heir of all things. Look east, look west, look north, look south. Walk through the land. It's all yours. Amen. You separate your things, separate yourself from sin. Unbelief. There's only one sin, and that's unbelief. Committing adultery is not sin. Drinking liquor is not sin. Telling lies is not sin. That's the attributes of unbelief. If you believed, you wouldn't do those things. Certainly, Jesus said in St. John 5:24, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. That's Zoe. Holy Spirit, because he believes correctly. Now, until you receive that, your make-believe, that's in that group. But when you really believe, separating yourself, then when you separate yourself from all your unbelief and believe God and walk out strictly, carrying the commandments, doing everything that's right, then God will say, every promise in the book is yours. Amen. All's yours. Turn from it. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all yours. Amen. If you abide in me and my word in you, you can ask what you will, it'll be done. What? You got to separate first from your unbelief. So separation, then the blessing. And from his sermon oneness, he said, see, it wasn't that. God don't deal with a person in a group. God don't deal with you in an organization. He deals with you as an individual, Individually, we are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Collectively, we are baptized into the body when we are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Individually, each one baptized with the Holy Ghost, God dealing with each one. That was his purpose, scatter them across the earth so he could deal individually with them. But instead of that, what happened? God had to separate Cain's people from Seth's people. He sent Cain away. He separated so he could deal with his church. Now watch. Cain was separated. Now what? God separated Eve's evil Cain from Adam's holy sin. Oh, did he do that? Through an unlawful act, this woman living with somebody else and brought a child. God separated that child and his generations from this righteous and holy man, his children. It's the same thing today. Separated, found them. They were not in unity. They could have no unity. Can night have unity with day? Can a believer have unity with an infidel? Can a man who believes in all the Word of God have a unity with them who just believes part of the Word of God? God wants separated. That's why when I began to do mission work overseas, it wasn't me as part of the Lee Vale Empire that went out. I went out as an individual because the people that fought me the hardest were the Lee Vale people. All right? Now, Brother Vale didn't. He supported it. But all those that were associated with him, they fought me the hardest. I had to totally walk alone with God. And then God blessed what we've done overseas. I mean, the sermons are translated to 13 languages. He told me in 1983, he said, write your sermons down and they'll be read all over the world. I had a dream last night. Beautiful dream. I was standing there we were in the time of the resurrection. The time of the gathering. And I was standing there, and I find myself, I'm talking to Elijah. And he had curly hair like Brother Branham did when he was a young man. He was kind of stocky, you know, sturdy built. No, not heavy, not, but he was sturdy built, about 5'8". And we're talking for a while, and then one of the brothers in the church came up. And so I introduced Elijah to one of the brothers in the church. And then a sister came, and she had been in from the early, you know, one of the early church age. And she said, Brother Brown, I've been reading your books on the relationship between God and His Son, and they're so wonderful, I just don't want to put them down. Somebody that's come from the other side? I didn't understand it, but God told me in 83, write everything down. One day they'll be read all over the world. Now listen, God is working. He's doing things. He's blessing like we've never seen before. Why? Because we're willing to walk alone. You've got to be willing to walk alone for God to bless you. If you mix, He says, okay, go with the mixers. Your blessings here on earth. Or you can walk with Him. And your blessings are eternal. Now, before this could be done, He says, the covenant could be confirmed and you have completely to go into obedience. Now, Abraham, God told him to separate himself from the people, and today, instead of separating from the world, we try to take the world with us. God wants a separation. The church today, when you vote your pastor, you really want a mixture. Or you say, our pastor is a good mixture. Well, he isn't of God then. God wants separators. And from Abraham's covenant confirmed, He says, now we find out that God told him to separate himself last night, and away from his kindred, away from his people. But Abraham, like an ordinary man, now God never run him out back to his homeland for doing it, but Abraham never did get blessed of God until he separated himself from all his people. He took his father along, he took some more along, took his nephew, and the old fellow always was in his way until finally God called him off the scene. And then Lot, his nephew, backslid and went down into Sodom. And then when he got separated from him, then God began to tell him what the blessing was, what he was going to bless him like. I like that. Now, we find out in Genesis 13:16, God told Abraham, when he spoke to him about his covenant, he said, I will multiply you in your seed. I shall be like the dust of the sands of the side of the sea. Like little grains of dust in the earth, your seed shall be like that, a father of nations. Okay? Just a few more here. From Jehovah Jireh, said, now notice, we find that Abraham, God told him, said, now separate yourself from your kindred. Separate yourself from all your kindred. Come out. Be with me, and I will bless you. Oh, isn't that wonderful? I'll bless you if you'll separate yourself. But there's where the trouble comes. That's where the trouble comes. People don't want to separate themselves. They don't want to separate from their card parties or the things of the world. You try to bring that right into the church with them. You have to separate yourself from unbelievers. You don't yoke yourself up with unbelievers. Come out and be separated, saith the Lord. Now, the world's looking for mixers. You know, many times when I was in another denominational church, they used to tell me, they say, he's a real good mixer. I believe if we send him down there, and sure, he takes all the ladies and their husbands and goes swimming and plays bunco with them, and they have a dance down in the basement. Oh, good mixer. God don't want mixers. He wants separators. Separate me, Paul, and Barnabas. Again, from total separation from unbelief. He said, I don't want to get started on this because I said I was just going to speak a few minutes. But I think today when we see our sisters wearing long hair, as the Bible said they should, I think it's a Nazarene sign that they want to follow the Lord. I know that sounds flat, and I want to go home because it is. It looks like somebody is trying to keep something that God told them to do. No matter what the price the world has to say about it out there, or how many scornful or laughters or critics, that doesn't bother a person that's totally separate from the things of the world to the things of God. They'll obey the word and separate themselves from the things of the world because the word separates them. I know they stand criticism, but if we wasn't criticized, then there'd be something wrong. The world always knows its own, but as I've said, remember criticism on account of the Word of God is only growing pains of His grace. It shows that you have separated yourself to be a Christian, to act like one, to live like one, to obey every commandment of God, and it's a Nazarene vow to separate, a call from God that separates you from the things of the world. Okay. All right, now we spent the last 8 pages showing you what Jesus called us to do in Luke 12 and verse 56. Now let's begin reading verse 51, from verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, nay, but rather division. From henceforth there shall be 5 in one house divided, 3 against 2, 2 against 3. The father shall be divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And in examining these words, we get a good insight into the very mind of God and the operation of His Spirit in our life. So, then Jesus goes on from these words, showing that we are called to separation with God and away from everything that would hinder that walk, which even includes family. And He says, then in the next few verses, we see how that He shows us the people have some discernment when it comes to weather and some things like that, but are completely naive when it comes to knowing God and how He operates. Verse 54 says, and He said unto the people, when you see the cloud rise out of the west, straightway you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. In other words, you're exercising discernment. You're examining what's happening, and you're saying, here's the outcome of what's going to happen. Notice they look and see the condition, and they make a discerning remark, and sure enough, it's correct. He says, and so it is. Then He gives another illustration of how people seem to be able to discern other things, and sure enough, they are correct as well. And in verse 55, and when they see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it comes to pass. All right? But then He calls them hypocrites. So why does He call them hypocrites? He says, you hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern? Do not. Not that you cannot, but you do not discern this time. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge you not what is right? When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. I tell thee, thou shalt not depart thence till thou hast paid the very last mite. So, what is going on here? Jesus tells them they are hypocrites because they use what ability they have to discern selectively. The word discern means to examine, and they can look at the condition of the sun or the moon and discern or examine what the next day will bring. Yet, they will not examine and thus discern the day and the conditions that they're living in. And why do you suppose that's the case? I'll tell you why. It's because they turn down the clues that God has given us because of their theology. Because it does not agree with the discernment, so they give into the group think instead of being willing to walk alone with God. I've seen on several occasions young men walk away from church because they know that they can get married, but they know they cannot get married because their spouse divorced them, and yet they think that leaving church will bring God's mind, will change God's mind about it. Well, they know as long as they attended this church, that I will keep God's word open before them. And so by leaving, they think that somehow they have an excuse to openly defy God's word. That is what Jesus is saying here. Why is it that you can discern here, but when it comes to the things of God, you have no discernment? He calls them hypocrites because it is not that they cannot discern the things of God, but it is that they do not want to use their discerning to agree with God. I remember Brother Vail told one brother, if you leave your wife, you are young and you will want to remarry. And if you do remarry, you will go to hell. And the person you marry will go to hell with you. And if you have children, they will go to hell. Now, you would think that this advice that Brother Vail had given them would make the guy mind his P's and Q's. And so, while Brother Vail was living, that person did mind his P's and Q's. But then after Brother Vail died, that person left church. What did he do? Exactly what Brother Vail warned him not to do. Now, he did not discern the Word of God. No, sir. He just deliberately put aside the Word of God because it was not convenient. That is a hypocrite, like Jesus called him back there. I'm trying to show you just a present-day illustration, all right? So you can understand what Jesus is talking about. Hebrews 5 and 4. It tells us why the doctrine is so important for our discernment. He says, strong meat, that is doctrine, belongs to them that are full age, those that are mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The doctrine helps you so that you cannot be deceived. That's what it's all about. That's why we study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. That is a condition of the end time elect that we see spoken of in Malachi 3, 16 to 18. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. Now, a son who serves his father is what? He's an adopted son, or one getting ready for adoption. And you will again discern and see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. So you see that serving the Father, remember, the word Torah, it means the instruction of the Father. Those who pay attention to the instruction of the Father will not be deceived. See? So this is the hour that the spirit of adoption brings with it the very mind of Christ, the mind of the Father, and in discernment among the sons of God who are being ready for adoption. Now remember, according to the Apostle Paul, this is the hour that his gospel will be believed, and this is the hour that God comes himself to be glorified and dopes also in his Son. The dopes of God magnified in the Zoe or the life of his Son. That's exactly Malachi 3 and 2 Thessalonians 1 is the same thing. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:24 that the elect will have proper discernment and will not be deceived. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. But we know it's not possible. All right, 1 John 4:1-6, we read, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. How many people do that? Whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world, whereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All right. Again, 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. Because God does what's right. You look at a man that does evil and then he wants to preach. He's got quotes all the time to give you and everything else. Don't have nothing to do with it. He that is righteous doeth what is right. So the man's... I used to have a guy call me all the time. You know, he'd have quotes and everything else, and he's just so bizarre. But he had these quotes, and, you know, just his thoughts were just mingled, muddled, and everything else. And he lived in fornication and everything else. You know, I finally put him on, block this caller. Ezekiel 44:23-24. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. That's exactly what the message is. It has taught us to discern. All right? And in controversy, they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments. In other words, they line up their thoughts with God, like Jesus said, my judgment is true because I'm just saying what God, what the Father told me to say. And they shall keep my laws, my statutes, and all my mind, mine assembly, and they shall hallow my Sabbath. Now, the false mind will never be able to discern the two spirits. Therefore, they are deceived, but they think that they're all right, and therefore they persecute the true seed, showing the attribute of Satan, who is not only the accuser of the brethren, but his first offspring, but his Satan's first offspring killed his own brother. Galatians 4:29, But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. 2 Timothy 3:7-8. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. They oppose it, and they take a stand against it. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And remember, Brother Rand said, if you have more than one Lord, you have more than one faith. It's the faith, not the faiths. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known not only my doctrine, but my manner of life, my purpose, and my faith, and my long-suffering, and my charity, and my patience. In other words, you understand what moves the whole picture. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now contrast that with what Paul tells Timothy in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And 2 Peter, Weiss translation. But as there were false prophets among the people, even so shall there be false teachers among you, who will be of such a nature as to bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, even denying the Lord that purchased them, bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their licentious conduct to its consummation, on account of whom the way of truth will be reviled. In other words, look, we've had mega churches come into this message preaching all kinds of different doctrines, and you know the people flock to them, and it brings the way of truth into disrepute because they always end up in either money schemes or you know multiple wives, like when the two souls deal. When I said, look, the only reason why they're preaching that is so they can have another wife, and sure enough, that led to preaching polygamy amongst those people, and then the preachers had two, some had three wives. These men will come into the message and give a wrong understanding of the word, and the people will be caught up into what these men say as evil interpreters of the word of truth. Now, in the sphere of covetousness, with fabricated words they will exploit you, for whom from ancient times your judgment has not been idle. And 2 John 1:7, but for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except to come a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So we've seen here now, going back to our beginning, we've seen that God, that the true vine, they know the two spirits. They've been instructed in doctrine. They understand the things of God. They understand the mind of God. They understand that God's a separator. They won't be deceived. Remember, Jehoshaphat was deceived. He said, well, you know what? You and I are alike. We're both kings. We both wear fancy clothes, whatever. We both have people who believe in the one true God. You know, we both sing from the same pew. We both sing from the same songbook. We both have, even we have horses alike, you know. I mean, we got the same, you got a Cadillac, I've got a Cadillac, you know. We're all the same. And that led to deception. Not realizing God is a separator. And to understand God is a separator is the first step in understanding the deception. And that you're not going to be deceived. That you're going to try every spirit to see whether it be in the faith. And how do you try it? You give it the word test. It always comes back to the word, and then the separation takes place from there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We understand, Lord, that you are here, that you came down with a shout, that your prophet, Lord, he brought a word which separated many people out from their denominational beliefs. It came into this message, but yet many of them, because they didn't understand that message, they begin to look for the same things they had in denomination, the same loaves and fishes. They wanted that also in their walk following the pillar of fire. And they did the same thing with Moses. They're doing the same thing today. And Father, because they don't understand you. So help us, Father, to understand, first of all, that when you speak, you speak what you are. And your word has the effect of what you are. And when you said, let there be light, you separated light from darkness. When you spoke the second time, you separated waters from above and the water from below. The third time you spoke, you began the process of life, and that's the process of separation. And so, Lord, we just ask you to help us, O God, to consider these things and understand so that we would not be deceived. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and may the Lord make his face shine upon thee. Lord, bless thee.